please take out a Bible and follow along as we will study from the Word of God this morning. It's good to see so many out here. We do have a number of visitors, and we are delighted in your presence here. And it seems like we've had many who have been feeling under the weather or those who have been out of town. And it seems like we have a large number of those back, and it's great to see all of you here as well. But also, please keep in mind that we do have a number who are not able to worship because they're still not feeling well, and let's remember them in our prayers. If you need a list of those, please check out the back of the bulletin for that. But do you remember back to when, all the way back in last year, when I had you fill out those surveys when I first moved here? Some of you already have a guilty look on your face as you remember that you never turned it in, but that's okay. I forgive you. But over 50% of those surveys, as I was looking through those the other day, one of the questions on that survey was, what is your favorite book of the Bible? And over 50% of you picked out the books of poetry. Although surprisingly, no one picked Song of Solomon as their favorite book, but many selected Proverbs as their favorite book. And which is good because beginning in the month of March, we'll be having a class here on Proverbs in the morning on Tuesdays, and I'll remind you and give you more information on that as that gets closer. But it's easy to see why Proverbs is a fan favorite as far as one of the favorite books of the Bible goes. It's an easy book to understand. It's practical and it's simple in its nature. Biblical Proverbs are like text messages from God, as one commentary I was reading put it. They're little, bite-sized packages of wisdom delivered in a memorable and witty manner. And we see this from proverb after proverb, such as Proverbs 17 and verse 14. And please have your Bible open the book of Proverbs. It's where we will be spending all of our time this morning. Proverbs 17 and verse 14. It says, "The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks." Or in Proverbs 14:12, another memorable proverb that says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." A proverb is simply a maxim, a short statement that expresses a general truth. And although reading a proverb can take only seconds, applying a proverb to our heart and to our life can take a lifetime. But have you ever noticed that there are proverbs all around us? There are Chinese proverbs, there are English proverbs, American proverbs, Arabic proverbs, African proverbs, and many more that I have failed to even mention. And for instance, most of these proverbs, for the most part, have a lot of wisdom in them. After all, they are general truths. So what makes the difference between a biblical proverb and all of these other proverbs that we have in the world? For instance, an American proverb by Benjamin Franklin that you've probably heard. It says, "Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." So what's the difference between a proverb like that and the proverb we just read from the Word of God? Well, these American proverbs, African proverbs, whatever they may be, they intend to help the physical, the outside, the temporal things of man. But biblical proverbs, they seek out to help the soul, to help the spirit of man and make one right with God. And the book of Proverbs shows us that time after time. It's written from the perspective of a father to a son, where the father is imploring and he's pleading with his son, "Hey, listen to me. Learn from my mistakes. Learn from my experience. Listen to the wisdom that I'm offering you and learn." And throughout the book of Proverbs, what we see is that there is a choice given to us. The father illustrates in the book of Proverbs by contrasting the idea of wisdom and folly. And he presents us with this, not literally a fork in the road, but we understand what that means, where we have choices in front of us. Which path are you going to take in your life? Are you going to walk the path of wisdom, or are you going to walk the path of folly? And these two choices are personified in the book of Proverbs as beautiful, alluring women, each vying for the affection of the young man. For instance, turn over to Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 6. We won't read all of those verses, but this is how the woman of wisdom is described. Beginning in verse 1, wisdom has built her house. Dropping down to verse 5, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. This is how the woman of wisdom calls, saying, follow me, eat of my bread. It is good, walk in insight and wisdom. But yet the woman of folly, she is not so. Verse 13 gets the picture across quite clearly as it says, the woman, folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. And these are the choices that we have today. Are we going to walk in wisdom or are we going to walk in folly? Wisdom leads to life, and wisdom is something that we as Christians must always be striving for, striving to attain in our lives. But understand that wisdom is not intelligence. I've known several wise men, but yet, intellectually speaking, they were not the most scholarly people. But they still had wisdom. And that's because wisdom implies more than just intelligence. It's emotional intelligence. Controlling and harnessing of oneself. The ability to discern, having knowledge and experience, that is wisdom. It's the skill of living, the ability to avoid problems, and the skill to handle those problems when they present themselves. That is wisdom. And I want us to make sure that we consider the requirements and rewards of wisdom this morning. And by doing so, it will help save your soul. It will help save my soul. It will save all of our souls if we walk in the way of wisdom. And we're going to discuss this idea from Proverbs chapter 2. So go ahead and place a marker there. In Proverbs chapter 2, the chapter ends with a warning. That if you walk in wisdom, you're going to have an inheritance. But if you walk in folly, you're going to be cut off. Proverbs 2, verse 21. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. This is what's at stake for our soul right here. Look beyond the poetic language that's being described here in Proverbs 2. Some people are going to inherit the land, but some people are going to be cut off. And in language for us today as Christians, what this is talking about, some people are going to go to heaven and some people are going to go to hell. And we need to watch and guard over our souls and walk in the way of wisdom that we may inhabit that land, as the text tells us. But understand that wisdom is not easy to attain, but the rewards of wisdom are life-saving. And so will you walk in wisdom or will you walk in folly? It's a question we'll visit at the end of this sermon. But for now, let's consider the requirements of wisdom. That's how Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5 really lays it out for us. Notice how in Proverbs 2 and verse 1 it says, my son, if you receive my words, if you receive my words, then drop down to verse 5, it says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you do this, and this, and this, as we're going to go on and read the verses in between, then you will find knowledge. Then you will know how to fear the Lord. This is an if-then construction. We see this many times throughout the Bible. If you do this, then you will have that. And that's what this text is showing us. If you want wisdom, this is what you have to do. And so let's look at what is required from us. First, what we have to do is you need to treasure up my commandments with you. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. We need to cherish and hold in high esteem the word of God. Some people have asked me, you mean I have to study my Bible every day? No, you don't have to study your Bible every day. You get to study your Bible every day. We need to treasure the Word of God, to take delight in what is in front of us, that this is going to help my soul. God's Word should not feel like a checklist task, but it's something that we see of value to us in our lives, something that's going to help me. Now, if I treasure a longer and healthier life, I'm going to do things that can help me attain that. And one of those things may be running. And what if I don't like running? Too bad. It can help lower my blood pressure, lower my cholesterol, keep my weight in check, and prolong my life. And at first, something that seems daunting, something that we don't really have a taste for, something that we don't like. I was hearing a story about a lady, she wanted to do the Dopey Challenge. Last weekend was the Disney Marathon and all that stuff. The Dopey Challenge is for no dope. It is you run a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, and a marathon all in a weekend. And a year ago, she wasn't even running and she was overweight. She started running and look what happened. She fell in love with it. Well, when we treasure up the commandment of the Lord and we put it in us, the same's going to happen. We are going to learn to love and treasure the word of the Lord. Although something that may have felt like a checklist task for us is soon going to be something we long to do, something to dive into, because this can help our soul. We also need to make our ear attentive to wisdom. Proverbs 2, in verse 2, the first part of the verse says, making your ear attentive to wisdom. You know, Christ says in Luke 8, in verse 18, take heed how you hear. And so many times, we're quick to want to give our opinion. But instead, we need to be slow to speak and make sure that we are listening with one ear because we only have one mouth. Ever notice that? Two ears, one mouth? Maybe we need to make sure we give extra thought to what we hear. You know, what if you went on a date with someone? Think back to your dating days. For some of you, that could be a long time ago, but I know. Think back there. Think back to those dating days. It's a different world out there today. But imagine you're on a date with someone, and every time you go to talk to them, they're on their cell phone. You try and talk to them, and their eyes are looking at their cell phone. How are you going to feel about that date? You're going to come home and tell all your buddies, yeah, it went great. No, you're going to say she wasn't interested. She looked like she could have cared less. Her ears were not engaged with anything you were saying. But yet, how are we when it comes to the Word of God? How are we when we study and read our Bibles? Are we distracted? Are our ears attentive to what we are reading? Or how are we when we talk to those who have wisdom? Do we listen to the words that they say, or are we quick to shrug it off? How are our ears when we're listening to a sermon, when we're in a Bible class? Are we attentive to wisdom? If we want wisdom, we better make our ear attentive to it. We also, as the second part of Proverbs 2 and verse 2 says, in inclining your heart to understanding. Obtaining wisdom is going to require all of oneself to be given to the task at hand. And when your heart is involved, that's not saying it's a part of you or just a section of you is involved. No, when your heart is given to something, it is all of you. It is a way that you conduct yourself. And when you incline your heart to wisdom, your whole body, your whole mind, everything of your being is set after it. You are searching for wisdom earnestly in your life. You know, our ears are for listening, as we just talked about, but the heart is really where change takes place. But if our hearts are not set on or inclined to wisdom, no change is going to occur. And I can prove this in a simple way, and you'll understand it. Think back to when you were in high school and college. You probably heard a lot of lessons on various topics. I can remember back to lessons I heard on geometry and calculus and biology. I couldn't tell you anything about a lot of that today. Want to know why? My ears were attentive, but my heart was not inclined to it. And when it comes to the Word of God, our ears need to be attentive, but you know what else? Our heart needs to be engaged with what we're reading. A heart that conforms to the Word of God. A heart that's tender. A heart that is willing to change. The Word of God is not a lesson that we simply listen to. It's meant to change us and save our soul. But we also, as verse 3, will say, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. You know, there's a time to be passive in our life, but there's a time where we should not be passive, a time to sit back, and that is when it comes to wisdom. We need to be diligent to seek it out, to raise our voice, call out for insight. Hey, help me out. How can I become wise in my life? Now, I coach a high school soccer team, and I'm constantly scolding the boys every single day. I'm not exaggerating. Every day, because they all pass around the whole field like this. It's dead quiet. You could whisper something, and people across the field could hear you because they don't talk. They don't know if a defender's coming, and they don't use their voices. And with that, they don't score because they don't know who's open and so on and so on. And I just have to say to them, I'm like, guys, are you afraid to score? And they say, no, coach, I'm not afraid to score. It's the whole point of the game. And then I say, good, open your mouth. And in the same way, do you want wisdom? Do you want understanding? Do you want to know how to better serve the Lord and what His law says? And you say, yes, preacher, I want wisdom. Raise your voice. Call out for insight. Ask what you need to do. James 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who generously gives to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you don't have wisdom, or you're unsure if the wisdom that you have is enough and that you want more, pray to God. Call out to God. Go to Him in prayer and ask what you need to do for that wisdom. Ask to Him that He may give you wisdom. Or maybe that can come by talking to those who have wisdom. No, I think something could definitely be learned as a young preacher when I talk with Mr. Bobby or Mr. Everett or someone who has spent a long time doing that. In their words, not mine, they said they've only been doing this about 100 years. And I think that something could be learned from them. The wisdom that they have. But they've been doing this a long time, and I think they know a thing or two. But with the people in our lives, we need to listen to those who have wisdom. Listen to the words that they say. Listen to the word of God. But it won't happen unless we sit back and say nothing. We must seek it out. Raise our voice. Call out for insight. Proverbs 2 and verse 4, we need to seek for wisdom like silver and search for wisdom as hidden treasure. Living in Florida, I'm sure we all have seen this. Maybe at the beach, you see the people that have the headphones on and they have the metal detector and they're walking through the sand. They're going down the beach all day. You just see them. When you're coming to the beach, you see them. And when you're leaving the beach, you see them. Metal detector. What are they doing out there? Well, they're trying to find the hidden treasure. They get out there early in the morning. I talked to one guy. He said he would get out there at 4 a.m. every morning to beat the rush, to look for stuff in the sand. That's dedication. That's commitment to finding the treasure. And that's how we have to be when it comes to the Word of God. Something that we seek for like silver and search for like hidden treasure. And if we do all of this, we come to verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You want wisdom. You want to know what to do? Read verses 1 through 5. Apply verses 1 through 5 and live verses 1 through 5 of Proverbs 2. Do all of this and you will have wisdom in your life. Treasure up God's commandments within you. Do this. And why is this worth pursuing? Why is this wisdom worth pursuing in our lives? Well, because this wisdom is from the Lord. Proverbs 2 and verse 6, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, this wisdom I'm talking about, I'm trying to make sure we all properly understand and appreciate. It's not a saying from Confucius or Benjamin Franklin. Those have value in and of themselves. But when it comes from the Word of God, help save our soul. And that's a lot more important than anything that Confucius or Benjamin Franklin ever said. And that's why we must be diligent to seek it. Proverbs 2, verse 7 and 8 says, He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Now, wisdom, again, is a skill of living and knowing how to handle difficulties when they appear. But even the wisest men that have ever lived have still come across difficult times. But it's important to note that with wisdom, God is close behind, that God is a shield. As Psalm 3 and verse 3 says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. God and His wisdom watch over our ways, the way of His saints. But then maybe who are God's saints? Well, it's not just those who walk in wisdom. Saints are those who belong to the Lord, those who faithfully obey what the Lord spells out for us. Psalms 97 and verse 10 says, "Oh, you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked." God will protect us if we walk in wisdom. And that kind of segue is in the text. Go back to Proverbs 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, if you've been noticing what I've been doing here, kind of breaking up the text. Verses 1 through 5, you see how it says, "My son, if you receive my words," and in verse 5, "then you will understand the knowledge," understand the fear of the Lord. We have that if-then construction. Then we see in verse 6, it says, "For the Lord give wisdom," and then verses 6 and 8, there's kind of its own little section. But then we get to verse 9, and it says, "then," kind of letting us know, almost like a new paragraph is beginning. Same idea, different way of saying it. And what we're getting to now is what we've been anticipating with this sermon, the rewards of wisdom. This is what you need to do to attain wisdom. This is why wisdom is important, because it's from the Lord, and these are the rewards of wisdom. And we'll go over five of these, and this sermon will be yours. The first is, you will understand righteousness. Proverbs 2 and verse 9, "then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path." Striving to understand righteousness, justice, and equity, it helps us understand the nature of God. To understand how just He is, and that He is fair in all that He does, and He is not impartial. That God is consistent in His righteousness. Wisdom helps us not to understand just righteousness, but also every good path, as verse 9 says. Notice it does not say that we will always walk on the good path. Think about David, how a wise man he was, and yet he did not always choose the good path. And the same could certainly be said of me, and it could be said of all of us. But when we see the good path, doesn't that make living righteous a whole lot easier? It's one thing if someone's walking and they never know the path that they're supposed to be on. But with wisdom, it helps us see which path we need to be on. Proverbs 37 and verse 23 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." Wisdom rewards us by giving us insight. It tells us, hey, this is the path that you need to be on. And understanding righteousness is a reward that can save our soul. Second, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Proverbs 2 and verse 10, it says, "For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." Well, when knowledge is pleasant to the soul, we view the Word of God as sweeter than honey. Think back to the song we just sung that's taken from Psalm 19 and verse 10. That says, "More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb." The Lord's commandments are not written on rock and beyond our understanding, something that we can never comprehend. But they're spiritually inscribed on our hearts and something that we delight in doing. Now, when I was growing up, I did not delight in reading. I was the kid that never had a book, and if I did, it was one of them big old picture books. Like, that was my type of book. I did not enjoy reading. And for that, I didn't delight in reading the Word of God because it was just another chapter book. But it wasn't until I got older and more matured in my age that I began to realize that the Word of God is pleasant, that it is a delight to the soul. And I pray that that's a feeling that never goes away for any of us when we delight in the law of the Lord. Ezekiel 3, we won't go to that passage and read it, but Ezekiel is told by God to eat a scroll. And if you're not familiar with that passage, just think about how weird that sounds. God tells Ezekiel, hey, here's this scroll, eat it. And then Ezekiel starts to eat it, and then it gets even weirder. It was good. It tasted like honey. That's how the law of the Lord should be in our lives. It's something that delights to our soul because it's pleasant to us. And the more wisdom one learns, the more one desires and enjoys in it. Whereas the fool, on the other hand, he's not going to delight in knowledge. Not going to delight in understanding, but he's going to delight in adultery and sin. It's how Proverbs 9 and verse 17, notice that passage where we're reading from. It's describing the woman of folly. The woman folly and how she tries to deceive others and seduce them. She says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And without context, that passage may sound like, okay, what's it talking about? But understand the stolen water and the bread eaten in secret she's talking about is sex outside of marriage. She's talking about adultery in this context. That's going to be sweet. That's what people who don't love wisdom, that don't cherish wisdom, that's what they're going to delight in. But those who love wisdom, they're going to have none of that. Because they're delighting in wisdom that comes from God. Third, discretion will watch over you. Proverbs 2 and verse 11, discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you. Before Haley and I moved from Arkansas, we were able to go to a concert of one of our favorite performers. And for his last song at the concert, I can't believe he did this. No one really knew it was coming. It got to the chorus, the line everyone knew, and everyone's like going crazy. And then all of a sudden, like, the lights went out. And then you hear him singing, and he's running through the crowd. But he had these two bodyguards out in front of him, and then two behind him. And these guys were just defensive linemen for, like, a pro team or something. And they just ran like this. All the way through, and people are trying to touch him, screaming and all that stuff. And he didn't have to slow down or anything because those guys just blocked everything out of his path. It was kind of impressive in the midst of like 3,000 people that they did that. But when I read this passage in verse 11, that's what I think of, that imagery. That's how discretion and understanding are for us in our lives. They're traits that will protect us from the temptations of the devil that are bombarding us and the fiery darts that he's trying to come our way. Discretion is going to say, no, get that out of here. Discretion will watch over us. But that does not mean that we have a free excuse to put ourselves in bad situations and hope that understanding will kick in and come to the rescue. But discretion and understanding are what help us avoid those tempting situations in the first place. As Proverbs 6 and verse 22 says, when you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. Though temptations may come at us from every direction, when we apply ourselves to wisdom, discretion is going to watch over us. Wisdom will deliver us from the way of evil men. And you want to talk about evil men? Read this next section with me. Proverbs 2, 12 through 15. It says, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness, who to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. I mean, that's a bad group of guys to be around. It almost looks like the description of Sodom and Gomorrah when you look at what they delight in. The perversions of the... That's what they delight in. But for maybe some of you, this could be your work environment. This could be associates that you know. For some, this could be the home life. People who don't delight in wisdom or those who forsake the paths of uprightness. And if I'm trying to find one good thing about verses 12 through 15 and the group that's mentioned there, I'd have to say that group is committed. They are committed to practicing and delighting in wickedness. The way they speak, the path they walk, the acts that they do, everything about them, they are committed 100% to doing evil and wickedness. But you know, that's what makes wisdom so rewarding now. Because with wisdom, we're going to be delivered from these men. Because wisdom's going to keep us from those who walk like this, because we're not going to delight in wickedness. We're not going to delight what they walk in, because with wisdom, our mind's going to be on greater things than things of this flesh. Ignoring the word of God, we're not going to delight in that. And for that, we're not going to walk with this crowd. And finally, on a similar note, wisdom will deliver you from the way of the forbidden woman. And there's a reason that she's forbidden. Let's read the text, beginning verse 16. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, in her path to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor did they regain the paths of life. When I read this section, this is like what I think my parents dreaded most of, like, if I were to bring a girl home someday, that this is what she would look like. The forbidden woman who you know she's troubled the second you see her. Her path will ruin you. Her path is the way that goes to hell. And we know how she's going to try and do this. Verse 16, it says, her smooth words. She knows what to say and when to say it. Trying to catch, again, the young man off guard as the father is writing to his son. Look out. This is what she's going to try and do and trip you up. And without wisdom, you want to know what's going to happen? And we see it happening all around us today. Young men are going to fall for that forbidden woman every time. But yet with wisdom, we're going to be delivered from her. We're not going to fall for her tricks. Because with wisdom, as verse 10 said, we're going to be too busy feasting on the word of God to fall for the seductive adulteress. Verses 18 and 19, for her house sinks down to death. In her paths to the departed, none who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Understand this. You fall for the forbidden woman, she will ruin your life. But this is the reward of wisdom. Verse 16, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman. Verse 20 says, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous. With wisdom comes knowledge. Knowledge of seeing warning signs of tempting situations and knowing how to keep yourself away from danger and saving your soul. And these are the rewards of wisdom. Rewards that are invaluable to our soul. In the passage we started with, Proverbs 20, verses 21 and 22, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Here is that fork in the road. The two choices that we have. And the question I said we were going to ask at the end, I'll say now. Are you going to choose wisdom, or are you going to choose folly in your life? The language of verse 21 is language that reminds us to the conquest of Canaan, when the people during that time of Joshua were trying to settle in the land, the promised land. And for us as Christians today, what this is talking about for us is heaven, the inheritance that is waiting for us. And so you need to consider now, what do you want in your future? Do you want to inhabit the land that is heaven? Or if you don't walk in wisdom, you're going to be cut off. We have choices in front of us at all times. And for some of us here this morning, you may have a choice to follow God, to follow Christ. Maybe you've never been baptized. You have a choice to do so this morning. Maybe you've been studying from the Word of God and you've come to believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, that He came and lived on this earth and He died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're ready to give your life over to Him, put your trust and your faith in Him, confess that He is the Son of God, repent of the man of sin and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, you have a chance to do so now. Or maybe there are some here who you need help. You want prayers for wisdom and help in your life. We'd love to assist you. Whatever we can do to help, don't hesitate to come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.